We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com. We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.
Hi, everybody. It's Richard Zwicky with High on Healthy. And joining us today, we have Sharon Rolfe, who is a behavioral scientist, author, empowerment facilitator, and known as the Queen of Courage. Welcome aboard, Sharon.
Thank you for having me. This should be fun.
Yeah, it should be. And, you know, one of the things I noted about you was you have a fundamental belief in one of the things you espouse, which is that there's a golden nugget inside everybody. And I phrase it a bit differently in that when I work with people, I always know everybody has the opportunity and the ability to be amazing at something, but most of us never get the opportunity to discover what that is. And my mission is to help people find that. How do you look at and you approach that whole golden nugget idea?
Well, I learned my golden nugget when I started coaching class, and it was a week before I retired. And we spent the whole weekend after we had done our homework and brought it to class, finding out and just in talking about like who we are on the inside. Richard, I'd like to call it my invisible assets. I know what's inside of me, but you don't know. And you can't exactly mirror it to me. It's something I kind of have to figure out myself. So we came to class with a list of what we love to do.
Right.
What our personal qualities are. And it included something about your hot buttons, things that turn you on or turn you off, I guess.
Aspiration
was a big part of that. And values, I can't believe how important values are. And then your guiding principles. And by the end of the weekend, we wrapped that all into a metaphor. I kind of like to think of it as kind of like parables. It's a picture story.
Right.
And they had us stand in a circle and read our statement to each other. And I noticed as it was kind of around from my left, people were kind of sniffling from as they read their statement. And what's going on? What's going on? And then as it came my turn, nobody had ever asked me to define my soul before. That's what it felt like. And here's what I read.
Right.
I am precious jewel of wisdom. I am colorful collaborator, motivator, and learner. I am tranquil, authentic, and pure inspirer. I light fires. Wow, to define my soul and then be able to live from that every day. Well, it took me about 3 months. I made a wall hanging that I put in my corner here. And one day I had to read it 3 times. Oh, yeah. When I live from what's inside every day feels right.
Right.
Kind of bouncing off the wall to see, you know, how do I be productive? Well, I'm productive when it aligns with it. Yeah.
And that's a big thing of how when people go through therapy and they start identifying their values and their beliefs, and beliefs are about oneself and how one views oneself, but also the values become more about how we carry ourselves in the world and how we demand that the world treats us. And so what you're speaking about from that perspective is approaching that same fundamental, how it affected you and how you came to that realization for yourself. And that's, I think, part of what you do today is because you work with individuals as they're going through and approaching retirement in many cases, and helping them understand how life transforms, but it's an opportunity to discover potential and to discover themselves in a way they haven't before. What's the big realizations people come to or have to overcome?
Well, the fact that you don't have your business card anymore that tells you what your title is, who you're working for, and what your team name is, you know, this goes out the window. That's disappears. And we don't know who we are without our job often. You don't have the structure of having to get out of bed in the morning with that alarm clock that gets you, you know, tells you you've got a purpose. And the people that you worked with, your colleagues, the people you ride the bus with or ride share to work, that's all gone. And as a behavioral scientist, I feel like it's so important that you replace that and kind of make some plans before retirement as to how you're going to structure your day with all these new parameters that don't include your job and your friends and your accomplishments.
Yeah, and you know, it's an interesting one on its surface as well, because that's been a common issue which people ascribe more to men than women, where men define themselves by their job and career more so than women tend to. But that isn't necessarily true, especially as the workplace has evolved. How do you see a difference in terms of how different people come to that point? Do you find it still is overwhelmingly men, or do you find it is become more equal in terms of that framing of themselves by their job?
Well, men seem to be such doers. They have to be active. And women tend to be more mellow. And yet, when it comes to knowing, delving into what's inside of us, still a lot of people don't realize they can know what's inside. You know, at Boeing, we call it when planes are made, it's original equipment manufacturer. You know, who made this? Where'd it come from? Well, we're made with original equipment inside of us, our invisible assets. Right. And it's still, I've waited a long time to have the culture change where people would want to know how they can really have a new purpose in retirement. The world needs a lot of healing right now, and we could all step up to the plate with that, what's really burning in our heart to contribute, and it will flow from us. It will be, my company is called Effortless Vitality, so I kind of think of a stream of water that's flowing naturally. It doesn't have to be pumped up in you. It's just give me a chance to express myself. And it's such a pleasure. I like to think of it as heaven on earth, because it's so delicious when we're able to give our best, that golden nugget.
No, absolutely. I will say that, you know, you made a comment about how women are more mellow. I have a lot of Latina friends and none of them are mellow. What's your approach? Because people come to you for a very specific reason. And who is the right person, or, you know, when should people start thinking about what's the right time to shift or to be looking at the perspective shift that you help bring?
Well, I ran a singles convention here in Seattle back in about 84, 85, something like that. And my director said, Sharon, have something else to go to before your big event is over with. And I didn't ask him how he learned that. I figured he had a story, you know? So as I approached retirement, and then give yourself 3 to 5 years to plan, be thinking about, you know, what's your next thing after your big exit?
Yep.
And I know the first year that I, I guess that was actually the year I chaired the event, that I was out in my front yard planting some flowers. And what's my next event I'm going to after this big event? Well, I was recharging my batteries in my garden, basically. And yet, if you have time to plan and your job before you leave, it's a great idea to think about what are some hobbies or ways that you would have liked to volunteer over the years and you didn't have the time. I did some podcasting for, I made over 50 podcasts. And one of the last ones I made, I was surprised by having a guest that was a wife of a husband I was intending to interview. As she jumped on and was all kind of flustered because she started a foundation, and that was really what I wanted to talk about. And she said one of the best advices she had gotten from a transition she was going through, because we are facing a transition, huge transition. And she said that her counselor, mentor, whatever, said she was facing a terrible divorce, an ugly divorce. And he said, well, what would be something that would be so much better than the pain you're going through that can overshadow all that pain and put it behind you? And I think at the time he was, or she was, I'm not sure who it was, that they were building houses for people in homeless people in Nepal.
Right.
And he said, would building a house in Nepal overshadow that pain? No, I don't think so. No. Mm-mm. Would building 10 houses overshadow your pain? It'd start. Right, would 100 houses overshadow that pain? And she realized that would put the pain behind her. And so the nugget that she shared with me was, when you're one of the first easy transitions in retirement is do what you did in retirement. So I think of that as, if you were an accountant, a bean counter, find somebody like a foundation or nonprofit in retirement that you could still be an accountant for. Easy transition. You're just kind of doing what you used to do. And until you find something better, you know, if you are a pilot, find somebody or something that needs things delivered. Mm-hmm. And it's a real easy transition principle that you could use as you go into retirement until something better shows up.
Right. So it's more, you're changing your life, but don't disrupt your life. Keep doing things that you do find the routine in and comfort as you explore what are the things you really love and want to tackle next, if you haven't already identified them. Some people have identified they want to go sail the world. They want to go drive across Africa. You know, they have those plans set out. Others don't, and they need to find them.
Yeah. You know, playing golf 24/7 may not be that fulfilling.
And, well, not for most people, but some will love it.
Until they realize
to make a political comment here, but I'll avoid it.
So volunteering is a great way, because I like to give people opportunities on both spectrums of whether it costs you money or not. And so I actually wrote a little book, gave 48 ideas of imagine you were singing to prisoners, you know, or beautifying the roundabout that's near your house, mm-hmm. or How about following the butterfly migration, monarch butterfly migration from Mexico?
Right.
Oh, man. Or
find anything you enjoy or passionate about or interested in and explore them, right? And like your roundabout, maybe it, you look at it every day, so seeing it being nicer is going to give you joy because you'll see something nice, but also pride because you'll have contributed. If it's the monarchs, it's because you've been interested or just curious about it and you want to learn. And learning is an amazing feature to help keep us young and growing.
Yeah. Curiosity is the best medicine for retirement because it keeps you learning. It keeps you engaged in life and to a certain amount, maybe thriving. But, you know, if you remember the three-year-olds that's trying to get into your kitchen cabinets to make some noise with those pans rattling, they don't stop until they figure out how to get those doors open.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I always look at, as people age and I meet, you know, people, the ones who remain curious and open-minded are the ones who age healthier.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And having a closed mind or defined absolute ideas, tend to be the ones who are aging faster and not lasting as long. And that's been a curious observation.
It is. When you're volunteering, as a general rule, you are going to live longer. You're not going to spend as much time in the doctor's office, and you'll have a certain level of either fulfillment or a new purpose that gets you going each day. And one of my guests on my podcast said, if they're not training you with your volunteer job, don't stay there. There's too many places that don't train you, and they expect you to read their mind and move on. They're not the right place for you. But in my book, Fresh Courage in Retirement, I have all kinds of questions at the end of each chapter that help you remember what you used to love to do or that spoke to the energy you've had in your life.
Right.
You know, we're playing for the roof over our head and our education and our car and all that mundane of life, we forget our dreams. We forget what gave us energy. So,
yep. So talk about your book a little bit longer. We just have a few minutes left, so let's make sure we spend some time on that. It's, you know, Fresh Courage in Retirement, right?
Well, courage goes along with curiosity, you know?
Yeah, it does.
It is on Amazon. And I have on the front of my book a art block. I love color. I love words of wisdom. And I love to sew. So this, and I dreamed this up on my own self. This is about a postcard size little piece. Right. Some people have used it as coasters, but I have them scattered throughout my book because, you know, we process things in our brain differently when it's presented with beauty. But each chapter has questions about, I call it a do-it-yourself focus generator.
Right.
And I give a lot of ideas like websites and books, maybe even movies, like The Intern is a great movie about.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And you know, I want you to reach for fulfillment. You're here for a purpose. You have breath and blood flowing through your veins that you're not finished yet. And how come we put so many stipulations on, you know, I can't move as fast and I can't hear as good. But I've often thought if you're sitting in this chair 24/7, you can still be contributing to life if you decide. And one of my favorite statements is, I'm the one that stops me. You are the one that stops you. So
yep.
Get your curiosity going again and realize that there's not any, you're not in a box. You're not in a, you know, barn. There's places to explore. And on the Great Discovery platform, I have my What makes your heart sing as the 48 ideas that could give you some ideas of what you could still do with whatever limitations or no limitations you have in your life.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting take on, there's a, I often go back to it, and a friend of mine phrased it better than I ever would, into just the term, I own me. And that's one of taking accountability and taking ownership of yourself and not allowing, you know, in most cases, not allowing abuse or to define who you are today. I own me. I take responsibility for myself, but I also control myself. But what you're outlining is a different way of approaching that same idea and giving tips to people who need that guidance of, okay, I want to take self-ownership. I want to own my dream and make it real. And here's a guidebook in terms of how I can go do it.
Oh, yeah. I'm 77 and I brag about it because I've never had a night in the hospital, never had cancer or diabetes. I'm in charge of my health. I have a self-healing body, by the way. Don't we all? But one of the big changes I made, Richard, was when I moved to Tampa, Florida, I got a little bit discombobulated, I guess, bouncing off the wall because I didn't know hardly anybody there. And what a stretch to move there. And I started getting, how am I going to do this? You know, 3 months in, I thought, okay, I've got it. This is going well. But by the fourth month, it was a different story. And I started feeling not myself, for sure.
Right.
Yeah. So I went to, how can I get some help? So for some reason, I picked up my Bible concordance and looked up the word courage and was shocked at, like, okay, the opposite of courage is fear. And there was like 300 statements about fear. And so courage, I found two chapters in Joshua, chapters 1 and 2, where it said, do not be afraid. Have courage, be of good courage, be of great courage. Do not be afraid. And I started grabbing hold of those verses and stomping my foot.
Yep.
I refuse to live my life based on fear. You can do that too in retirement and choose to thrive. And so
and those tenets are fundamental in every religion and philosophy that guide people. It's don't be afraid, right? It's embrace the future.
I started imagining holding a stop sign in front of my nose about 4 inches away. And,
right.
And to make that shift, that transition into, I refuse to go there. And so much of when I started hearing advertisements on TV about when you go to your rheumatologist, I'm like, if I go to my rheumatologist.
Right.
Brainwashing.
Yeah. You don't have to go do any of those things if you plan ahead and figure out how you're going to live your best. I mean, as unfortunately for some people, there are genetics involved that make things unavoidable, but there are so many things we can control ourselves by just being mindful of how to stay healthy. How to tackle, once we have a challenge, how we tackle it.
Yeah, because I'm hearing that our DNA can be changed by what we think and feel.
I don't know, but I know that how we adapt to our DNA can be changed and change the reality of what we're dealing with. I think that way I definitely would agree that it's how we deal with, how we respond to the reality around us, because perception is the reality, as the philosophy, you know, a statement that holds true in most things. But Sharon, we are unfortunately out of time for today, but people who want to read your book, they can find it on Amazon. And people who want to learn more about you, they can visit effortlessvitality.org?
Yes, sir.
And reach out to you through that?
Yes, yes.
And where do people come to hear you speak, generally? Because you said you do speaking.
Yeah, I do a lot of podcasting now and love doing it, but I'm starting to cook on the idea, Richard, of doing a circuit rider to senior living places to be speakers there, because I love to inspire and encourage people. And I often close my podcast with a Thomas Wolfe quote, if one has a talent and fails to use it, one has failed. If one has a talent and partially uses it, one has partially failed. Mm-hmm. When he has a talent and finds to use the whole of it, they have gloriously succeeded. am found a satisfaction few people ever know.
That's very true. It's a great quote.
Thank you for joining us today, Sarand.
Thanks for having me. Let's do it again.
Look forward to it. Thanks, everybody, for listening. I'm Richard Zwicky with Pion Healthy, and we'll be back again with you soon. Good. Well done, Sharon.
I'm good, yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.